You have your Bibles this morning. We're going to be looking in Numbers 25. Last week, we talked a lot about the devastations that we're seeing in our world today and how some people believe that a loving God can't create disaster. And if you missed Sunday school, you saw many passages of Scripture where God brought about a lot of turmoil and devastation and disaster to the nation of Israel because of disobedience and because of sin. God is loving, don't get me wrong. If he wasn't loving, he would not have sent his son, but he sent his son because he was holy. And out of a holy love, he sent his son so that we would not perish. You've got to read John 3:16 very carefully, and you've got to read it to the end, that he sent his son that we would not perish. Well, what's the perishing? That means that there's a wrath of God that he has set upon mankind. He has condemned mankind. One man represented all of humanity, and that man failed and miserably, and therefore we died spiritually and we die physically. So, just going to look at here a different character of God than what you're used to hearing. We have so focused on the love of God in our world today that we have forgotten that God hates sin and that God will not tolerate sin. And God sent his son because of sin, because he loved us and because sin had to be dealt with in humanity, or we are hopelessly, helplessly lost. Just like that rich young ruler, he went away perplexed because he was doing everything humanly possible to please God when God's word says very plainly, you cannot please him in the flesh. So therefore, we must become spiritual. Therefore, flesh begets flesh. First comes flesh and then comes spirit. The spirit comes only if God gives that new birth experience to you. You have to be born again. So we want to look at the whole character of God, because if we don't understand the character of God and the whole character of God, we can never fear him. And if we never fear him, we can never have the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge, which we need so that God can speak to us and teach us. God says we are to fear him, not be afraid of him, but to fear him. And that fear leads to a reverence and respect and obedience, which he commands us. Again, we don't keep his commandments to be saved. We keep his commandments because he gave us the gracious gift of the Holy Spirit in us, which gives us the power to keep those commandments. But begin to read in verse 25. While Israel remained in Shittim, the people began to play the harlot with the daughters of Moab. For they invited the people to sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. As we learned in Sunday school, that's our nature. We want to fit in. We want to be and have what everybody else has. I know when I went through my college days and things like that, we always wanted to be accepted. We always wanted to fit in. We never wanted to stand out and be separate. But see, God says you are to come out and be separate and not be a part of what the world has to say and what the world is doing and what the world is teaching. We don't need to be like another church. We don't need to be like anybody else. We need to be who God tells us to be. And that in itself will separate you out from the world, because God does not associate with anything with the world. As we learned in Sunday school, if you're friends with the world, you're an enemy of God. Doesn't mean we can't be friendly to the world, which we should be. But we can't be friends with the world, and we can't take the world ideas and bring them into our lives. God wrote in his word how we're to live and how we're to be. But they wanted to be like everybody else. So they were invited. The neighbor said, come on over. Come on over. Join us. We're having fun. Don't you hear us? All the fun that we're having? You guys don't seem to be having too much fun. So Israel joined themselves to Baal of Peor, and the Lord was angry against Israel. The Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people and execute them. See, I think we read these passages of scriptures too quickly. So Moses had to command, and he took all the leaders, and they physically had to kill these people. Put yourself in that moment for just a minute. This is God instructing them to kill family members and friends. They were leading the people astray. God said, I'm not having that. So I'm putting the duty upon you to go out and kill your family and friends because they're disobedient. Then he said, so Moses said to the judges of Israel, each of you slay his men who have joined themselves to the Baal of Peor. Then beloved, one of the sons of Israel, this guy is very blatant. So he's seeing what's happening here. And then this guy, then behold, one of the sons of Israel came and brought his relatives, a Midianite woman, in the sight of Moses. So again, the key there is that Moses had been married to a Midianite woman. And so he thought, well, basically, there's going to be some leniency here. And we'll just kind of see what happens here. In the sight of Moses, in the sight of all the congregation of the sons of Israel, while they were weeping at the doorway of the tent of meeting. I mean, these folks are devastated at this point. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he arose from the midst of the congregation and took a spear in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and pierced both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through the body. So the plague of the sons of Israel was checked. Those who died by the plague, get this number, folks, 24,000 people dead of a plague. And you're going to tell me that God does not punish evil and disobedience. And we live in a world today that shakes his fist at God. We live in a world today that says, even in a lot of churches that accepted the sin of men, we have become lip service to God and no repentance. We don't even talk about repentance anymore in our world. We talk about God being so loving that he's just waiting there with open arms. Well, I don't see a loving God here. I see a God that's holy, and I see a God that's just, and I see a God that's right. I see a God that says, you're going to do what I say. And if you don't do what I say, here's the consequences of what's going to happen. Just because he sent Jesus Christ as the propitiation of our sins, and he became no sin, he became sin on the cross on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God. It wasn't so that we just go to heaven. It was so that we represent him. It's so that we become that new creature. It's so that we repent from our sins, so that we carry out the commandments of God in our life, so that he can use us to be that light to a lost world, to have compassion and love to those that are trapped in something that they can't do anything about. And we forget to tell people. We forget to tell people this. It's not just about God's love. You can't focus just on God's love and get this. You have to know who God is, and you have to know why you need to fear him, because he expects us to do what he says. And that's why the first commandments were written, so that we would know that we can't do what he says, so that we would turn to a holy God in subjection to Jesus Christ, who's the head of the church, and submit to his authority. Let's look at Romans. Chapter 1, verse 18. We actually read this in Sunday school as well. Folks, sometimes it's not fun being the messenger or being the pastor sometimes. You can't just pick and choose what you want in Scripture and listen to it and make some type of denomination or something from it. You have to read it in its entirety and allow to see who God is. God has a limit on his patience. And God eventually will give you over to the lust of your flesh, and he'll eventually give you over to the desires of the flesh and allow you to just suffer those consequences. God says his spirit will not always strive with man. Listen to what he says. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that is which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them what God has done. And every human that is born, they are left with a void in their life. There is left with an unsatisfactory ability to be comfortable in this life, and we fill it with all kind of things. We fill it with money. We fill it with people. We fill it with pride. We fill it with arrogance. We fill it with all of these things, but there's something left within us that only can make man complete. We were born and we were created by God initially to be spiritual beings, and when that was taken away from us, that's the void that is left within us, and this is what is evident to all men. We all have a void that's left within us, and if we're not careful, we'll fill it with religion. Religion is man's attempt to please God. And Dylan just read to you all from passage of scriptures that salvation only comes from the possibility of God, not of man. So there's nothing that man can do. There's nothing that a prayer that man can say. There's nothing that... We don't look at the supernatural act of God in saving an individual and giving him the Holy Spirit and sealing him and having a total circumcision of the flesh. And that baptism of the Spirit is what he talks about, which seals us to holy God. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through that which was been made, so that they are without excuse. Just look around. This all just didn't happen. God created it. And the things that God have allowed us to know, it's amazing to me. We think we discover things. We don't discover anything, folks. If God doesn't allow us to know it, we're not going to know it. And the more he allows us to know, the more we realize we don't understand. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him. God expects us to honor him as God and give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolishness heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And they exchanged the glory of an incorruptible God for an image of the form of corruptible man and the birds of the four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, we're replacing God by everything. You notice that the thing that was left out when Dylan read that passage of Scripture, do you know which commandments was left out? Does anybody know? The greatest and the fourfold commandments, weren't they? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. Have no other gods before me, and love your neighbors yourself. Those were left out. Because they're the things that we can't do in this human form. And that's why this guy went away perplexed, because there was nothing he could do in the flesh that would allow him to be able to please God. And so only God could do for him. And we don't understand, we don't teach that today. We don't teach that salvation comes when God gives it to a person, not when they say a prayer. If it's me saying the prayer, then it's based upon me. God has to do it. Jesus Christ could not even tell people when they're saved. He told Nicodemus, you got to be born again. But how can that happen? Don't worry about it. It's like the wind. And that's what Dylan meant when he said, then the wind blew in his life. That in that moment he knew that the Holy Spirit had come and lived within him. And he became a new creature. And then his new journey as a child of God, not a Christian anymore. But now he became a child of God. And here's the saddest, I think, one of the saddest passage of scriptures that we have to understand about God. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity. God finally said, I'm done. I don't know what else to do for you all. I have sent my son, Jesus Christ, so that you can become my righteousness, not so that you can still live in your sin and go to heaven, which is what religion teaches. No one wants to teach about the new birth. No one wants to teach about being that new creature. No one talks about being repenting of their sins, which that was the whole point of the gospel that John the Baptist preached, that Jesus even said, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. He even taught the disciples, when you go out and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, teach them to do all that I command, repenting of their ways. He gave them over to, he just said, I'm done. Fine, if that's what you want to do, then do it. And there's a biblical principle here, folks, that we need to understand. If we keep rebelling against God and we stay in our sin, then God eventually will say, fine. And then the wrath of God is upon you. And you will stand before him and he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. And you will be cast into the outer darkness where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. And that's according to Scripture. See, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to grating passions. See if this doesn't... You know, we think the things that we're seeing today, transgender and homosexuality and abortions, we think that's all new. It's not. It was actually in biblical times. Matter of fact, if you go back and read the instructions of how society should live, you'll find out in Exodus and Numbers that God had already warned man that this was going to happen. The difference is now we're not ashamed of it. Now we're not ashamed of our sin before a holy God. We've created a false God that loves us regardless and allows us to stay in our sin, and that's a false God. God loves us where we're at. He accepts us where we're at. He knows where we're at. Jesus said, I know what's in man. I don't even trust man because I know what's in them. But the difference is that God loves us enough not to keep us where he finds us. For this reason, God gave over to grating passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. You ever heard of bestiality? It's real. Huh? Women having relations with animals. Folks, that's where we live in our world. It's true. And in the same way, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Heard of the AIDS virus? You heard of the monkeypox? Our world says, oh, you can't attribute to that. I'll tell you what, God punishes sin. And there are consequences to sin in our life. And we read these passages of scriptures and we're just dead. This is our world. And they just not see fit to acknowledge God any longer. God gave over to a depraved mind to do the things which are not proper. Just go ahead and do it. We've allowed the world to just say, oh, I believe in Jesus. We've allowed the world to say, oh, I believe in God. Without any repentance, without any newness in the nature that God gives us, which is not being truthful with people. We're lying to people. Being filled with, and then he includes all sin, folks. We're not one of those people. And again, I'm not judging these folks. I'm reading scripture. God is the one that judges us. And God includes it all. Listen to the rest of this, because we all are going to fall into this category somewhere, because God says we have all sinned and come short of his glory. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife. Oh, I didn't murder anybody, but have you hated somebody? Jesus said, let me take it one step further. You hate somebody, you've murdered them. You're a murderer. You've looked at some woman, huh? All of us guys are guilty of that, right? Huh? We was in college at some point or somewhere young and saw some good-looking woman running around, and whoo, guess what? We fornicated or we committed adultery in our heart, even though we didn't do the act. Jesus takes it one step further, see? So it incriminates us all, folks. We're all guilty. Deceit, malice, gossips, slanders, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. Do we live in a world today where kids have no respect for the authority of their parents? They tell the parents where they're going on vacation, what they're going to do, how they're going to do it. Parents are sacrificing so much for the kids. They're getting into debt for things that they want to do. They want to give their kids the whole world, but they don't spend any time in the Word of God with them to teaching their kids to fear God. And then when their kids grow up, they wonder, where's this God at? I wonder why God's allowed this to happen to my kids. It's not God's fault. Maybe it's because we've not been obedient to His Word on how He's told us to raise our children. But we live in a world today where kids are hitting their parents and kicking and screaming and getting everything that they want whenever they want it. And parents are doing everything in the world that they can to make sure they have them. And yet they don't spend any time to give them the most important thing in life. And that's to teach them the true nature of God. Read the Old Testament to them and read the New Testament to them. And create a fear in them. Okay? Because God says as long as we live on this earth, we're to fear Him. And that comes from Scripture as well. Without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, how can you get anybody nowadays to do what they say they're going to do? You ever had to try to build anything these days? And have a contractor come in and they do what they're supposed to do and they do it correctly the first time? Huh? How about you at work? Do you do what you're being paid to do? Children of God ought to be the best employees. They ought to go above and beyond and help their coworkers. Take on more load than what they've been expected to do. That's what God calls us to do. And although they knew the ordinance of God, folks, we all know the ordinance of God. Whether you pick up God's word or not or read it, it's written. And because it's written, you're held accountable. Although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice, listen to me, those who practice such things are worthy of death. They not only do the same, but they also give hearty approval to those who practice them, you know. You ever heard misery loves company? So does sin. People joke about, me and my buddies will just have a big party in hell. I've read the scriptures and it doesn't look like these people that were in hell were having a party. Matter of fact, they were pleading to God that they would send someone to their family members so they wouldn't come to this dreadful place. Let's look at Job. I just want to throw a little curve in this morning. You can't say all bad things come because God's angry and mad. You see, what we want to do is we want to put God in a box and we want to write a book about God. Here's how you have a successful life as a Christian and you follow this, this, and this. Well, you can't. God may allow someone to steal his whole life and someone steals first time and God kills them. That's God's right. Okay? So we can't sit here and say God is going to respond to every situation of evil like we've been talking about. Yes, God is wrathful. Yes, He punishes sin. But when He does it, that's up to Him. See, that's what we can't predict. And that's what we can't put Him in a box. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless, upright, fearing God. What did he do? He feared God. Huh? Got God's attention. And God, in turning away from evil, 7 sons, 3 daughters were born to him. His possessions were also 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all the men on the east. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one of his days, and they would sin and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. Now, Job wasn't sure what was going on in there. Job was kind of concerned, and he feared God enough that listen to what he did. And when the days of their feasting had completed their cycle, Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning and offer burnt offerings, offered according to the number of them, all for Job. Perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. So Job was that good father that concerned about the sins of his son, unlike Samuel that we learned about today, who they went ahead and did whatever they wanted to do. Okay, just because you raise a child in church doesn't mean they become the church. See, we've allowed people to go to church instead of becoming the church. There's a big difference. Now, well, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. See, we forget that God is sovereign over all. Even Satan has to answer to God. The Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" Then Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming about the earth and walking about it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Wait a minute, you've missed something. Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." What God was saying was that Job only feared God. He didn't have affections for God because of all the blessings he had. See, isn't that what we want? We want a God that blesses us, right, all the time and takes care of us and has our back. Well, that God doesn't exist. That God doesn't exist. So it gets pretty interesting after this. Then Satan answered the Lord, "So does Job fear God for nothing? For you have," and this is what I'm saying, "for you have made a hedge about him. You protected him, his house, and all that he has on every side. You've blessed the work of his hand, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and surely he'll curse you to your face." So just take it all away. He doesn't really love you. He loves what you've done for him. Tough question. Do you love God and you're here worshiping him this morning because he's God? Or because of what he's done for you? Then the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him." So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. Now on the day when the sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabans attacked and took them. They also slew your servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, this is like while he was not finished speaking, another one comes in and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, another one came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, another came in and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the oldest house, and behold, a great wind," maybe a tornado, we don't know, it just says a great wind, "came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young, and they all died, and I alone escaped to tell you." Wow. Wow. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshiped. We won't even come and worship on good days. We won't prepare to worship when things are going well. The first thing he did was prostrate himself to a holy and mighty God because he knew who God was. He knew where his provisions came from. He knew where his life came from. He knew where all this stuff came from. He knew and he feared God because he was God, not because of any action of God. It was the person of God that he feared. Listen to what he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. I'm not that man. I'd probably be angry. I'd probably have nothing to do with him. You know, let's be honest, folks. That first commandment's impossible for us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, and soul, and strength, because our life sure does not show it. It's something we got to learn over time. As we become children of God, then we have to learn that over time. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came and presented himself before the Lord. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" And Satan said, "From roaming about the earth and walking around it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? What do you think about him now? For there is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." He didn't just fear God, but his fear made him turn away from evil. It's one thing that I fear God, but what is your fear of God doing for you? Is it making you respect him and revere him and making you turn from your wicked ways and evil? And he still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause. I'm ruining him without cause. I'm ruining him because, not to show you, but also to prove to Job who he is and who he really is. Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has he'll give for his life. However, put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you in your face." So the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your power, only spare his life." Then Satan went out in the presence of the Lord and smote Job with boils and sore boils and sole of his foot and the crown of his head. And he took and caused her to scrape himself while he was sitting among the ashes. Then his maybe he should have taken his wife. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." What a wonderful helper, huh? Didn't even know her own husband. Women, how well do you know your husbands? And are you the helper that God created you to be to your husband? But he said to her, "You speak as someone of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Let's look at Matthew 10:28 real quick. It says, "Do not fear those who kill the body but aren't able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and the body in hell." We become so dull of hearing. We have so focused on God's love that we forget that there's another side of God. See, no one wants to hear about this. That's why Matthew chapter 7 was written. "Not everyone that calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of God." John 3:30-36. "He who comes from above is above all, and he who is of the earth is from the earth, and he speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all." He's talking about Christ. "What he has seen and heard of all that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony." He came and he told us everything that God was going to do, everything that we were. The Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he simply only testified to what God had to say about the state of humanity. It was never about going to heaven, folks. You cannot support that in Scripture. It was about our wickedness, our evil. And he was going to make us into new creatures that would uphold the integrity of God in the flesh so that others would come to know who he is. He who has received his testimony has set his seal to this, that God is true. For whom God has sent speaks the word of God, for he gives a spirit without measure. The gift of God is not eternal life. The gift of God is being sealed with the Holy Spirit. Yes, eternal life comes with that, but when you focus just on eternal life and you just focus on heaven, you're going to miss the truth of God and you're not going to become that new creature. The Father loves the Son and has given him all things in his hand. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey. It didn't say believe. It didn't say believe the Son. It didn't say believe in Jesus Christ. That passage of Scripture says obey him. Obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. There is a wrath of God on everyone that does not become the child of God. And you don't get to become a child of God when you want to. Jesus Christ himself could not even explain it, so why in the world are we allowing men to explain it? I'm just asking the question. When Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God, could not determine a man's salvation, how are we allowing the world to do that? I've got a lot more scriptures if y'all want to keep going. Oh, it's 12 o'clock. We have to stop, don't we? That's what we do, isn't it? This is more important than anything in this world. And we've allowed our commentaries, we've allowed our theologians, we've allowed our self-help books, we've allowed Joel Osteen to tell us who God is instead of picking up God's holy word and reading it for ourselves. God says he repays in secret those who are spending time with him in secret. And if you're not spending time, you're not denying yourself daily, you're not putting on the full armor of God, you will succumb to this world and the antics of evil according to Scripture.